This is a weekly roundup of the John Lothian News Daily Update for the week of January 18th, 2020.
This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for January 18th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the hits and takes section. The markets press is in a bit of a Gary Gensler fever moment with stories in the Wall Street Journal, Bloomberg, and Financial Times about how this fearsome Wall Street cop is going to start to walk the beat again. He has a billy club and is not afraid to use it. There are actually bigger things to worry about right now than Gary Gensler at the SEC. The New York Times reports that about 3,300 people are dying from the coronavirus every day in the United States. The country is fast approaching 400,000 total deaths, and New York City is averaging more than 6,000 new cases a day. On a per capita basis, the situation on Long Island is even worse. As of Monday morning, there were 23,983,600 people in the U.S. infected with the coronavirus, according to a New York Times database. Also, there is some concern about the risk to President-elect Biden from inside the 25,000 National Guard troops expected to be present for the inauguration, the Associated Press reports. The FBI is vetting the National Guard troops. This week, we have sponsored content in JLN from JPX Group. Sponsored content is a week-long advertisement in the top box of the newsletter. Contact me if you're interested in using this resource to advertise, or you are a sponsor already and you want to schedule your sponsored content in our editorial calendar. If you're looking for a good Martin Luther King Jr. Day movie, I would recommend you check out One Night in Miami on Amazon Prime. It tells the fictional story of an evening with Cassius Clay, who becomes Muhammad Ali, musician Sam Cooke, football great Jim Brown, and Nation of Islam leader Malcolm X. The evening was after Clay defeated Sonny Liston to win the heavyweight boxing championship. There's a link for the trailer in today's newsletter. We had no new donations to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign over the weekend. To date, we have received 112 donations. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by donating to our GoFundMe campaign. The JohnLothianNews.com website was moved to a new hosting provider over the weekend. Thank you to Jeff Bergstrom, our CIO, for all his hard work in moving the site. We would like to secure some additional responses to our demographic survey, so we are adding to the benefits to filling it out. We had offered three $100 donations to a charity of your choice. We are now adding a $250 gift card to one person who fills out the survey and shares their contact information. So now we will draw for one person to get the $250 gift card and then pull three more names for the $100 donations to a charity of their choice. Please fill out our survey by clicking on a link in today's newsletter. Things continue to look bleak for XRP, the digital asset created by Ripple, as exchanges all over the world announce plans to delist or halt trading for it due to the SEC's lawsuit against Ripple. Cryptocurrency exchange Kraken is set to halt trading for XRP for U.S. customers, according to an announcement published on January 15th, Matt Rabel reports. Here are some more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. First off, we have a podcast by Suzanne Cosgrove. Cannabis shares pick up pace as 2021 regulatory momentum eyed. Salim Daya, an analyst with Nasdaq's IR Intelligence in Toronto, sees U.S. cannabis regulation poised for a rehaul in 2021, given Democrats' U.S. Senate win. While he acknowledged some uncertainty, he told JLN that U.S. reform and the implication of Mexico's legalization efforts are expected to provide new opportunities for sector growth. Listen to the podcast on johnlothiannews.com. Here is an announcement from JPX, that's our sponsored content of the day. First year anniversary workshop of TOCOM JPX Electricity Futures. Asia's most successful electricity futures at Tokyo Commodity Exchange, TOCOM/Japan Exchange Group, or JPX, celebrated its first year of listing in a co-hosted webinar with QuickCorp on December 15th, 2020. The event was attended by over 250 people from 152 companies. At the workshop, Mr. Hatakiyama, Director General for Commerce and Service Industry Policy of METI, gave an opening remarks, and Mr. Ishibashi from Asterix Trading Inc. gave a keynote speech on electricity trading and risk management. In the panel discussion, traders from different power companies shared their experiences in using TOCOM electricity futures and their internal risk control systems. They pointed out that there is still a huge opportunity in electricity futures market in Japan and requested the exchange to list new products such as those covering the Hokkaido and the Kyushu areas and change the product design to extend contract months. For more details, please refer to a link in today's newsletter. Here's a story from The Guardian. Historians having to tape together records that Trump tore up. The public will not see Donald Trump's White House records for years, but there is growing concern the collections will never be complete, leaving a hole in the history of one of America's most tumultuous presidencies. Trump has been cavalier about the law requiring that records be preserved. He has a habit of ripping up documents before tossing them out, forcing White House workers to spend hours taping them back together. My comment, Nancy Pelosi was not the only one guilty of ripping up documents. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. Social media algorithms rule how we see the world. Good luck to trying to stop them. What you see in your feeds isn't up to you. What's at stake is no longer missing a birthday, it's your sanity and world peace. It's hard to pinpoint exactly when we lost control of what we see, read, and even think to the biggest social media companies. I put it right around 2016. That was the year Twitter and Instagram joined Facebook and YouTube in the algorithmic future. Ruled by robots programmed to keep our attention as long as possible, they promoted stuff we'd most likely tap, share, or heart, and buried everything else. My comment, these algorithms control what you see and react. Squirrel! Here's a story from Bloomberg. Online extremism expert says far right has adapted ISIS playbook. Site intelligence Rita Katz on the growing threat of, quote, more radicalized and dangerous, unquote, underground in America. Rita Katz, the founder of Site Intelligence, which tracks extremism online, says the growth in right-wing radicalization in the U.S. stems from President Trump's behavior and the dynamics of social media. What are the parallels between right-wing radicalization efforts online and those of other extremist groups like ISIS? My comment, the Capitol sacking was just a battle. The war is still on. Here's a story from the FT. Vaccines won't get us back in the office anytime soon. Employers wanting mandatory staff COVID shots need to think again. What would you do if your boss announced the latest perk at work was free breakfast at the Waffle House? Or how about the chance to win a TV in a raffle? Or an Airbnb gift card or a bicycle? In the annals of staff benefits, this is relatively meager stuff, especially considering the strings attached. These are just some of the incentives U.S. employers have launched to tempt reluctant staff to get a COVID vaccine. My comment, not everyone agrees on vaccines, some for good reasons, other for not so good reasons. Here are the top three most read stories from Friday's JLN. Our top story Friday was my commentary, NFA Bar's futures broker Gary Follett from membership for 5 years. Surprising it took this long. Second was Yahoo News' exclusive large Bitcoin payments to right-wing activists a month before Capitol Riot linked to foreign account. Third was arrested Capitol rioters had guns and bombs. Everyday Careers and Olympic Medals, from Reuters. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for January 19th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the hits and takes section. Tomorrow, Joe Biden becomes the President of the United States of America. Kamala Harris will become the Vice President, the first female Vice President in history. Bless them and their mission. In one of her last acts as a U.S. Senator, Kelly Loeffler donated her paycheck to the Capitol Police Memorial Fund in honor of two officers that died in the wake of a violent Capitol attack. It was a class move. The CME Group has completed its migration of the BrokerTec EU government bond and EU repo trading platform to CME Globex. There's a link in today's newsletter for a discussion paper from the LME they issued on the future market structure at the exchange. Congratulations to Gary Gensler on being nominated to be the SEC chairman. Welcome back, Gary. We've had two new donations to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Former FIA General Counsel Barbara Wozinski and Doug Harris, Managing Director of Promontory Financial Group, LLC, and an NFA board member. Doug is also an advisory board member of DirectSwap, LLC, and a director of SAGE, which stands for Services and Advocacy for GLBT Elders. I am particularly moved to have received this donation from Doug on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, especially considering his work with SAGE. As for Barbara, to quote Markets Mickey, she was instrumental in shaping nearly three decades worth of Commodity Futures Trading Commission reauthorizations, expanding the FIA's focus to global issues, and guiding the industry through the Barings crisis, the downfall of Lehman Brothers, and the subsequent development of the Dodd-Frank Act. She was key in the advancement of FIA's consumer protection recommendations in the wake of the collapse of MF Global and Peregrine Financial Group, which have been adopted by regulators. Thank you to both Doug and Barbara and all who have given and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by donating to our GoFundMe campaign. The pathway to Adventure Council of the Boy Scouts of America was the number one council in the nation in popcorn sales. How about that? Here are some more stories from the First Read section of today's JLN. Cannabis sales pick up pace as 2021 regulatory momentum eyed. This is by Suzanne Cosgrove of Podcast. Salim Deya, an analyst with NASDAQ IR Intelligence in Toronto, sees U.S. cannabis regulation poised for a rehaul in 2021 given Democrats' U.S. Senate win. While he acknowledges some uncertainty, he told JLN that U.S. reform and the implications of Mexico's legalization efforts are expected to provide new opportunities for sector growth. You can hear this podcast in today's JLN on johnlothiannews.com. Here is a sponsored content press release from JPX. First year anniversary workshop of TOCOM/JPX Electricity Futures. Asia's most successful electricity futures at Tokyo Commodity Exchange, or TOCOM, Japan Exchange Group, JPX, celebrated its first year of listing in a co-hosted webinar with QuickCorp on December 15, 2020. The event was attended by over 250 people from 152 companies. At the workshop, Mr. Hadakiyama, Director General for Commerce and Service Industry Policy at METI, gave an opening remarks, and Mr. Ishibashi from Asterix Trading Inc. gave a keynote speech on electricity trading and risk management. In a panel discussion, traders from different power companies shared their experiences in using TOCOM electricity futures and their internal risk control systems. They pointed out that there is still a huge opportunity in the electricity futures market in Japan and requested the exchange to list new products such as those covering the Hokkaido and the Kyushu areas and change the product design to extend contract months. For more details, look in today's newsletter for a link to JPX. Here's a press release from the CME about their migration of BrokerTec. CME Group completes migration of BrokerTec, EU government bond and EU repo trading platform to CME Globex. CME Group, the world's leading and most diverse derivatives marketplace, today announced that BrokerTec, a leading provider of electronic trading platforms and technology services in the fixed income markets, has successfully migrated its European government bonds and repo trading platform to CME Globex. My comment, it has been a long time coming, but a major accomplishment for the CME Group and Executive Chairman and CEO Terry Duffy. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. Capital riot becomes civics lesson in schools. Teachers face difficult questions from students. Others point to the need for better civics, curriculum, and funding. At the start of class, Logan Ridenour reminded the high school juniors of their ground rules for discussing the Capital riot. Everyone is entitled to their own opinion, and everyone should be a respectful listener. For the link to this story, go to johnlothiannews.com. There's a story from Forbes. Washington State partners with Starbucks for vaccine distribution. Starbucks is not a healthcare company, but we do operate 33,000 stores at scale, serving 100 million customers per week, said Starbucks CEO Kevin Johnson at a press conference. And we have a world-class team of human-centered design engineers who are working under the direction of the state and healthcare providers like Swedish, Kaiser Permanent, and others, with Microsoft and many other businesses to help support the creation of vaccination centers that we can scale. Ordering a Starbucks just got more interesting. I'd like a venti, Pfizer vaccine, three pumps, no Moderna, no foam, long shot, extra cold, in my bum and not in my arm, says Jeff Bergstrom. Here's a story from the Washington Post. Why the WNBA can't wait. Kelly Loeffler should get the Donald Sterling boot. It should come as no surprise why Atlanta's WNBA franchise, upon its birth in 2008 as the league's 14th team, chose Dream as its name. Since 1986, we have been reminded of it on the third Monday of every January. The name is a nod to Atlanta's most famous son, Martin Luther King Jr., whose most famous speech championing human rights included the most unforgettable refrain, "I have a dream." Maybe we can learn from Joe Biden's inauguration speech he will give tomorrow to learn more about how to exist together. Here are your top three most read stories from Monday's JLN. Our top story Monday was Bloomberg's Biden's Wall Street Watchdog signals new era of tough oversight. Second was the Financial Times, vaccines won't get us back into the office anytime soon. Third was the Wall Street Journal's, an old foe of banks could be Wall Street's new top cop, about Gary Gensler. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for January 20th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with this story from Tom Thompson of John Lothian News. Yellen looks likely to stick with Treasury Department policy regarding Bitcoin. President-elect Joe Biden's Treasury Secretary nominee, Janet Yellen, upset the cryptoverse yesterday with her response to a senator's question about terrorism during her Senate Finance Committee confirmation hearing. With regard to terrorist financing, she said, cryptocurrencies are, quote, are a particular concern, unquote. At the hearing, Yellen said, I think many are used, at least in a transaction sense, mainly for illicit financing. Rapid-fire tweets were then sent out quoting Chain Analysis year-old study that found that less than $10 billion in Bitcoin transactions used for illicit purposes, or insisting rhetorically that Yellen be at least concerned about the U.S. dollar's use in supporting terrorism. To read the rest of this story, go to johnlothiannews.com. Here are the comments and stories from the hits and takes section of today's JLN. Today is Inauguration Day in the U.S., which used to fall on my birthday, March 4th. It was changed many years ago because the Congress that had been voted out had too much time to create havoc by passing new laws. Thus came the term lame duck Congress. There is a schedule of events for the inauguration of Joe Biden as President of the United States today in today's newsletter. Joe Biden becomes the oldest person to be inaugurated as President of the U.S., and I am the oldest I have ever been when a U.S. president was inaugurated. Biden posted an incredible picture on Twitter of him and his wife and Kamala Harris and her husband in front of the reflecting pond by the Washington Monument. I really liked that Joe Biden, on the Monday before he was inaugurated as president, spent some time filling boxes with canned goods at a food pantry, giving service to others. In 2004, my wife and I took a trip to London and then on to Switzerland for the Birkenstock Conference. While in London, we stopped in the London Metal Exchange and had a tour of the trading floor. It was a time when open outcry trading was more and more an anachronism, and the LME seemed like the staunchest holdout. I'm glad to have seen the LME trading floor when it was still robust. I am sorry to see it go, and would love to find some LME traders to interview for our Open Outcry Traders History Project. We can do the interviews right over Zoom, which I first used in a call with former LME CEO Gary Jones. John Tornator has joined the Small Exchange's Global Head of Business Development. He takes a big job at a small exchange after having recently left CBOE Global Markets. Congratulations to John and to Small Exchange CEO Donnie Roberts on an excellent hire. The Glenview State Bank, a hometown bank from my childhood and the first one where I had a savings account, has been sold to a Champaign, Illinois-based bank, ending a long run as an independent bank. Richard Berliant is the latest person to give to our JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Richard is a retired J.P. Morgan executive and former FIA chairman who is now the chairman of the board of TPICAP, among other roles. Richard is one of the people who has had a true impact on the industry during his career and continues to do so through his work with TPICAP, Man Group, Cloud Margin, and other organizations on whose boards he serves. Thank you to Richard and all who have given and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. For what it's worth, Glenview State Bank, see my comments above, is also where Jeff Bergstrom got his first savings account. He can still remember driving home and looking at the little book that they gave him with his balance, which I think was a check he deposited from his grandma for $25. Here are more stories from today's first read section of JLN. We have the Spread video series in today. The title is Data Galore. Bitcoin mania appears to have returned stronger than ever at the moment now that the virtual coins are trading between $35,000 and $40,000, depending on the day or the minute. I swear the cryptocurrency scene is like a zombie. As soon as you think it's down, it gets back up and tries to sink its teeth into your brain. To view the Spread, go to johnlothiannews.com. We have in this week's newsletter a special report from TOCOM JPX, first anniversary workshop of TOCOM JPX electricity futures. Asia's most successful electricity futures at Tokyo Commodity Exchange, or TOCOM Japan Exchange Group JPX, celebrated its first Year of Listing in a co-hosted webinar with QuickCorp on December 15, 2020. The event was attended by over 250 people from 152 companies. At the workshop, Mr. Harakiyama, Director General for Commerce and Service Industry Policy of METI, gave an opening remark, and Mr. Ishibashi of Asmax Trading, Inc. gave a keynote speech on electricity trading and the risk management. In the panel discussion, traders from different power companies shared their experiences in using TOCOM electricity futures and their internal risk systems. They pointed out that there is still a huge opportunity in the electricity futures market in Japan and requested the exchange to list new products such as those covering the Hokkaido and the Kyushu areas and change the product design to extend contract months. For further details, see johnlothiannews.com and today's newsletter. Here's a story from the FT's Martin Wolf. The American Republic's near-death experience. Donald Trump was just a symptom, and the U.S. is still in danger from those who peddle lies in place of truth. Here is what happened. U.S. President Donald Trump asserted for months, without evidence, that he could not be defeated in a fair election. He duly attributed his defeat to a rigged election. 4 in 5 Republicans still agree. The president pressured officials to overturn their state's votes. Having failed, he sought to bully his vice president and Congress into rejecting the electoral votes submitted by the states. He incited an assault on the Capitol in order to pressure Congress into doing so. Some 147 members of Congress, including 8 senators, voting to reject the state's votes. My comment, we were nearly dead, but true love of democracy brought us back. Here is a press release from the NFA. Remote online testing available for candidates seeking to take futures industry proficiency examinations. FINRA administers the futures industry proficiency exams on behalf of the NFA, including the Series 3, Series 30, Series 31, Series 32, and Series 34. Beginning today, candidates may choose to take exams either at a local test center or remotely proctored online. Online testing will be delivered and remotely proctored by FINRA's testing provider, Prometric. Prometric allows candidates to use a personal or firm-provided video cam-equipped computer to take proficiency exams remotely. Prometric staff proctors each exam using the webcam and other online tools. My comment, NFA and innovation are not commonly used together, but they are today. Thank you, NFA. Here's a story from Bloomberg. McConnell says mob attack on Capitol was provoked by Trump. The Senate GOP leader hasn't said how he'll vote on impeachment. Cameron says Trump impeachment will be a vote of conscience. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell said the mob that stormed the Capitol January 6th was fed lies and provoked by the president and others into a violent and deadly rampage. McConnell's words on the Senate floor Tuesday were some of the strongest he's used to tie President Donald Trump directly to the attack that disrupted the certification of the Electoral College votes that elected Joe Biden as the next president. My comment, this is a breathtaking announcement from the former majority leader in the Senate. Here's a story from the Associated Press. Atlanta Dream is close to being sold, taking Kelly Loeffler out of WNBA. The Atlanta Dream are close to being sold, ending defeated Senator Kelly Loeffler's contentious stint as a WNBA owner. As it relates to the Atlanta Dream, we understand a sale of the franchise is close to being finalized, the league said in a statement. Once the sale negotiation is concluded, additional information will be provided. My comment, this is the right thing to do. Get away from controversy as much as you can. Here are the top 3 most read stories from Tuesday's JLN. Our top story Tuesday was LME issues discussion paper on future market structure regarding proposals to enable the LME to modernize and create a metals market fit for the future. Second was the CME Group completes migration of BrokerTec EU government bond and EU repo trading platform to CME Globex. Third was another LME story, Bloomberg's London's raucous trading ring calls time on 144-year history.
This is Patrick Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for January 21st, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at eurex.com. And now a note from John Lothian. Joe Biden was inaugurated as the 46th president of the United States yesterday, but it was Trading Technologies that claimed the big news of the day with a change in leadership. Rick Lane is out as chairman and CEO of the global provider of high-performance professional technology trading software, and Tim Giannopoulos is in as chairman and CEO. Meanwhile, tastytrade was sold to IG Group, giving the British spread betting company entry into the fast-growing individual trading brokerage space in the U.S. Oh, and the U.S. stock market hit record highs yesterday, evidently liking something it saw in the day's news. Biden set a record for the biggest gain in the stock market from Election Day to Inauguration Day, with the S&P finishing 14% higher on Inauguration Day than it was on Election Day. The president with the previous record, Herbert Hoover. There was a hidden message in the new White House website aimed at recruiting coders to the U.S. Digital Service. Our friends at Hong Kong Exchanges and Clearing Limited announced the launch of a cash-settled mini USD/CNH futures contract, a smaller-sized contract to complement the popular USD/CNH derivatives products. Smaller is better these days. Speaking of HKEX, they reported on LinkedIn that today was a record-breaking day in the Hong Kong markets. Securities markets hashtag turnover set an all-time high of HK 302.5 billion, while hashtag Stock Connect southbound turnover notched a fresh record of HK 99.07 billion. Yesterday I was interviewing Olivier Ravel for the Open Outcry Traders History Project video series when he was interrupted by a call from another journalist. Ravel, whom I met when he was head of commodities at Euronext, had some big news to talk about. Reuters reported that French IT services provider Logaviv and market operator Griffin will launch Europe's first agricultural commodities over-the-counter OTC market, with contracts initially targeting wheat, corn, and rapeseed, they said on Wednesday. Ravel, now a managing director Europe at Griffin Markets and president of Griffin Markets Europe, was a market maker on the IPE and a board member for ICE when the exchange was still a project, trying to build an OTC market to compete with Enron Online. Susan Estes announced on LinkedIn that Open Door Securities has created operations as of this morning, January 13, 2021. Open Door Trading was launched as the first woman-owned and operated bond trading platform in the world. Chris Ferraris was an advisory board member of the firm. The Tower of London is down to 7 ravens, not good. I'll be selling Bernie Sanders mittens through Amazon. They are the latest thing and I meme it. There were no new donations to our JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign. So far we have had 115 donations. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by contributing to our GoFundMe campaign. Have a great day and stay safe, and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. A note from John Lothian. And now a note from Matt Rabel. So far this month, Bitcoin miners have made $700 million, an $8 million increase from December's total mining revenue of $692 million, according to the data from the block. Good news for Galaxy Digital, who recently announced they would begin not only mining Bitcoin themselves, but also providing financial services for miners. An article from John Lothian. Why do you hire a super salesman to run Trading Technologies? Rick Lane is out at Trading Technologies as CEO and chairman, but still with the company in a non-titled supporting role for the time being, at the time when the company is rumored to be in the midst of a sale. Tim Giannopoulos, the former global head of sales at Trading Technologies and a major TT shareholder, is in as the new CEO and chairman, returning to the company after a stint as a consultant and startup investor and fintech executive. So why is this change occurring at a time when the company is reportedly for sale? There is not an easy answer, but my question in the title gives part of the answer, I think. To read the rest of John Lothian's commentary, go to the website at johnlothiannews.com. John Lothian News launched Ricardo Manrique Talks Global Index Trends Amid New Exchange Competition, a video interview. Ricardo Manrique is the head of strategy for FTSE Russell and has a great perspective on the global index business after having significant roles at other index companies, including MSCI, Stocks, and Dow Jones. With a global battle waging between exchanges over the FTSE, Russell, and MSCI indexes, as well as the rise of individual investor traders, Robinhood, John Lothian News interviews Manrique over Zoom to talk about the index business and factors like ESG, Brexit, and day traders and how they are influencing the global markets. To watch the video, visit johnlothiannews.com. From the editorial board of FT, Joe Biden and the restoration of an American Republic. Inaugural address was a call for a return to U.S. norms and values. Since at least the time of Abraham Lincoln, U.S. presidential inauguration speeches have contained appeals to unity. Rarely since then has unity been such a central or often repeated theme as it was of Joe Biden's address on Wednesday, but rarely, too, has American democracy felt as fragile as today. A comment by John Lothian, restoration is a good word. From Becky Ferreria of the New York Times, an ancient form of European money, bronze rings, ribs, and blades, because the objects has a standardized weight, scientists suggest they were a form of currency used some 3,500 years ago. The modern world runs on a constant flow of money that has its roots in simpler proto-currencies, pioneered of regional levels of ancient peoples. A pair of archaeologists believes they have identified a very early example of commodity money in Europe, used some 3,500 years ago during the Bronze Age, with denominations that took the form of bronze rings, ribs, and axe blades. People at this time frequently buried collections of these ubiquitous items, leaving a wealth of scattered hoards across the European continent. A comment by John Lothian, bronze rings were the Bitcoin of their day. And now Wednesday's top three. Our top story Wednesday was the picture President Joe Biden posted on Twitter of the two first couples standing in front of the reflecting pool looking at the Washington Monument. Second was opinion piece by the Financial Times, the American Republic's near-death experience about ex-President Trump's attempt to coup and the continuing danger to the U.S. democracy. Third was What Time Does Joe Biden's Inauguration Start? A viewer's guide from how to watch to the schedule, from Wall Street Journal. This is Patrick Lothian with a daily update of the commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for January 22nd, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at eurex.com. And now a note from John Lothian. The CFTC and the SEC have new acting chairs, with Rostin Benham taking the CFTC reins and Allison Herron Lee leading the SEC. The CFTC also put out a press release titled, Heath P. Tabbert concludes historic tenure as CFTC chairman. They forgot to mention his tenure was epic, unprecedented, and unparalleled. They also noted in the release that he remains one of the five commissioners at the agency with a term that expires on April 13, 2024. This continues to give the CFTC a Republican tilt with 3-2 advantage. However, Republican Brian D. Quintens has previously said he is leaving the commission. The FIA, as is their practice, issued a press release congratulating the new president and vice president. What was different was the reference to the peaceful transfer of power. Then they congratulated Russ Benham on being named the CFTC's new acting chairman. The FIA is so proper and polite, you might think they were Canadian. Here is the text of the FIA statement. FIA congratulates President Biden and Vice President Harris on their swearing in and welcomes the peaceful transfer of power to the newly elected leaders of the U.S. On behalf of the FIA's worldwide membership, we look forward to working with the incoming administration on the challenges before us. We also congratulate Russ Benham on his designation as acting chairman of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. We look forward to working with Acting Chairman Benham and his fellow commissioners on the immediate challenges of the cleared derivatives industry, both here and around the world. Today, FIA joins with our members in celebrating the workings of our democracy and the resilience of the American people. The FIA also yesterday put on this notice, Global futures and options trading reaches record levels in 2020. We have made that our lead story today because, like, it is rad news. The Barclays CTA index showed a gain of 2.49% in December and 5.18% in 2020. Half of the gains of the last year in the last month, while the stock market was roaring, is not a stirring recommendation for managed futures. Interestingly, though, Barclays reported that all sectors tracked in the Barclays CTA indices were in the black for December. The Cryptocurrency Traders Index set the pace again with 19.66%, while the MPA Barclays Elite Systematic Trader Index returned 4.25%. The Diversified Traders Index advanced 3.87%, the Systematic Traders Index was up 2.71%, and the Discretionary Traders Index gained 2.05%. They also noted that, in a similar fashion, all managed futures sectors posted 12-month gains in 2020. The Cryptocurrency Traders Index led the way, returning 171.32% for the year, followed by the Agricultural Traders Index up 14.2%, and the Discretionary Traders Index gained 8.56%. The Diversified Traders Index returned 6.57% in 2020, while the Systematic Traders Index advanced 5.26%. I guess the cryptocurrency space was the place to be if you can stomach it, have money to burn, and want to take the ride on the wild side. Nasdaq has appointed Jeremy School Chief Strategy Officer. He is now their Executive Vice President and Chief Strategy Officer. Congratulations, Jeremy. Notice from the SGX's website, as at 22 January 2021 at 3:15 p.m., please be informed that due to website maintenance, there will be intermittent access to our site from 8 a.m. on January 23rd of 2021 to 8 p.m. on January 24th of 2021, Singapore time. We apologize for any inconvenience caused. Have a great day and stay safe, and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice, from John Lothian. And now a note from Sarah Rudolph. Nasdaq Chief Economist Phil McIntosh's last column is called A Record Pace for SPACs, and looks at what SPACs are, how they work, and how they trade. We have sponsored content this week, a special report, first year anniversary workshop of TOCOM-JPX Electricity Futures. Asia's most successful electricity futures at Tokyo Commodity Exchange and Japan Exchange Group celebrated its first year of listing with a co-hosted webinar with QuickCorp on December 15, 2020. This event was attended by over 250 people from 152 companies. At the workshop, the Director General of Commerce and Service Industry Policy at METI gave an opening remarks, and Mr. Ishibashi of AstMax Trading Inc. gave a keynote speech on electricity trading and risk management. In the panel discussion, traders from different power companies shared their experiences in using TOCOM electricity futures and their internal risk control systems. They pointed out that there is still a huge opportunity in electricity futures market in Japan, and requested the exchange to list a new product such as those converting the Hokkaido and Kyushu areas and change the product design to extend contract months. For more details, there's a link in today's John Lothian newsletter. From Nasdaq, Nasdaq appoints Jeremy School Chief Strategy Officer. Today, Nasdaq announced Jeremy School had been appointed to the position of Executive Vice President and Chief Strategy Officer. Expanding his scope in the new role, School will lead the global strategy organization to drive strategic planning, mergers and acquisitions, divestitures, venture investing, Nasdaq Next Innovation, and will be responsible for the company's positioning as an innovative data technology and analytics leader. In addition, he will also continue to oversee Nasdaq's marketing and communications division, now part of Global Strategy. A comment by John Lothian, an excellent move by Nasdaq. From Jack Tarrant and Chris Gallagher of Reuters, Japan stands firm on Tokyo Olympics schedule, denies report of cancellation. Japan stood firm on Friday on its commitment to host the Tokyo Olympics this year and denied reports of a possible cancellation, but the pledge looks unlikely to ease public concern about holding the event during a global pandemic. Though much of Japan is under a state of emergency due to the third wave of COVID-19 infections, Tokyo Olympic organizers have vowed to press ahead with its rescheduled games, which are due to open on July 23rd after being postponed for a year because of the coronavirus. A comment by John Lothian, the flip-flop is going to be the big new sport at the Olympics. By Michael D. Shear of the New York Times. Banished by Trump but brought back by Biden, Fauci aims to let the science speak. Using the kind of blunt language that so often infuriated the former president, Dr. Anthony Fauci said the health threat from the virus was still very serious. Most of the times Dr. Anthony S. Fauci made an appearance in the White House briefing room in 2020, before eventually being banished from the public view for his grim assessments of the coronavirus pandemic, he had President Donald J. Trump glowering over his shoulder. A note from Matt Rabel, I missed having a government that valued science. From PRWeb, Barclays CTA Index gains 2.49% in December, 5.18% for 2020, according to the backstop Barclays hedge. The risk on trade reemerges as investor optimism returns to the driver's seat. Managed futures funds finished 2020 with another positive month and gained 2.49% in December, according to the Barclays CTA Index, compiled by Barclays Hedge, a division of Backstop Solutions. For the year, CTAs returned to 4.18%. Global equity and commodity markets benefited from the robust price rallies, while safe haven assets such as bonds and the U.S. dollar declined, said Sal Waksman, president of Barclays Hedge. Progress on economic stimulus measures and coronavirus vaccine approvals raised hopes that a return to normalcy was on its way. A comment by John Lothian makes me want to go back into the CTA business. And now Thursday's top three. Our top story Thursday was John Lothian News' Why Do You Hire a Super Salesman to Run Trading Technologies? By John Lothian. Second was Trading Technologies. Trading Technologies names new chairman and CEO. Third was Reuters. In hidden message on White House website, Biden calls for coders. The Crypto Markets Wiki coin of the week is Ether. The price of Ethereum hit an all-time high on Tuesday, January 19th, reaching over $1,400 per ETH token. Ether, the world's second most popular digital asset, has seen over 90% gains this year, even more so than Bitcoin. Currently, there are approximately more than 114 million ETH in circulation, with a market capitalization of $139.9 billion. For comparison, there are approximately 18.6 million Bitcoin in circulation, with a market cap of approximately $573.8 billion. MarketsWiki has 198,029,118 pages viewed from 25,121 pages, and there are currently 229,395 edits. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at eurex.com. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast if you haven't yet, and please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. This has been Patrick Lothian. Have a great day.